the Lord called me from, I used to be a trial lawyer in South Texas, and the Lord called me to ministry, and you know, the holy city there in Wilmore, Kentucky, where they had that great revival, where Pastor Jenny went to school as well. And but I never felt the call to be a pastor. I really felt the Lord was calling me to be an evangelist, and then I didn't know it, but I would go through some times of great brokenness, and shame, and pain, and hurt, and failure, and God would reach deep down and lift me up, and heal me, and free me, and fill me with His Spirit during those times. And so the Lord led me into a different path, a path of healing. And especially healing from the inside out. Letting go of your pain, letting go of your shame, letting go of your past, your failures, your false identities, receiving what God says about us, living into the fullness of the calling of God, the destiny of God for our lives. Right. And as God did that in me, He began to open up doors of opportunity for me to go and to share that with others. And so though I am ordained with the Methodist Church, my ministry has always been independent and go just wherever the Lord sends me. It's been kind of three different levels. One is meeting with people one-on-one, just trying to provide a safe place where people can come and they can say, I'm going to tell you something I never told anybody before. Or I'm going to let go of this anger in my heart. Or I'm going to ask the Lord to come and set me free of this addiction. And to provide that kind of a place. And then the Lord began to bring others around me to help train them, equip them, grow up the body of Christ into doing that kind of ministry and develop schools of ministry. And then the Lord showed me that the same principles that apply to an individual, repentance from sin, healing from the wounds of the past, deliverance from evil, breaking the generational curses, being released from entanglements and unholy ties, and then receiving the fullness of the Spirit of God and God awakening prophetically our gifting and our calling, that all those same principles that apply for a person apply at every level. They apply to a family. They apply to a church body. They apply to a city. They apply to a nation. Really, they apply to the body of Christ. And so then the Lord began to use me, send me to cities, send me to nations, you know, apply the same principles. And so I had an invitation to come to Claremore about 6-7 years ago. Some of y'all were there over at the Methodist Church, and we had a prayer conference that was for the city. And and then I followed up with that. I said some things. The Lord gave me some words that Tiffany heard about. I just woke up in the Lord gave me this word about declare more in Wilmore. I mean, declare more in Claremore. That's where I am. And I shared that, and word got back to Tiffany. She had off in Kansas doing the same type of ministry up there. And she said, we need you here. So I came back for a conference there. And then now I came back through town another time. And now this is my fourth time. So somehow God has knit my heart together with Claremore. And I'm honored, blessed, excited to be here. It's a tremendous conference this weekend. I love those times when God brings together the body of Christ into the unity of the body from the different streams and churches and places in the body. When we come together, that's where the Lord commands His blessing. Psalm 133, and He was commanding His blessing. He was moving mightily. One of the sweetest moments. There are many sweet moments, but just last night, Sean was leading us in worship, and the Lord just, He was singing a song about, Lord, there's no place we'd rather be. And I just heard the Father say so clearly, there is no place I'd rather be. I have to share that with everyone. That is the heart of our Father. Yes, we worship Him, and yes, He is the center of our world and the center of our life. But we also need to understand this. God, who we worship, loves us. He loves to be around us. He loves to be within us. He loves us. He's crazy about us. And sometimes we just need to remember that that's the kind of God we love. And yes, He convicts us of our sin. Yes, He leads us to repentance. And yes, He hates some of the things that go on in our lives, but He always loves us. He's always for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen?
Amen?
And we thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You that You are here. Your Spirit is here in this place. Your Spirit is here within us, Lord. And we are hungry. We are thirsty for You, to seek You, to experience You. And we pray today that every one of us would experience You, encounter You in a deep way, Lord. That no one would leave this place this morning unchanged. We would be changed today in the name of Jesus by Your Word, Your revelation, Your power being made manifest in us, that we might be Your revival here on this earth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And I love to, you know, I don't like to just go into some message or sermon I preached before, I always love to get that fresh word. Don't you love that? And sometimes it's kind of nerve-wracking waiting on the fresh word. And so I didn't go to dinner last night. I said, you know, I'm going to go home. I'm exhausted from this conference because, you know, it's fun, but it's exhausting too. And I'm going to get to bed early, and I'll get up early in the morning and see what the Lord has for the folks at Life Changers. And but he woke me up early, 4:30 this morning. I woke up, and I heard these words going off in my spirit. Go through the gates. Go through the gates. But yeah, when I get up here in a couple hours, Lord, I'm going to pray about that. I couldn't get back to sleep, so finally turned on my light, got up my dream journal from the Super 8 Motel. And I started writing down some of these things the Lord gave me. He started to show me some specific gates that we are to go through. And I believe this is a word for y'all, but I believe it's a word for your city. And just like I said, these things that speak to individuals, they're God's truth, God's principles, God's revelation is for on every level. So I believe these are words of what the Spirit is speaking to the church in this hour as well. So just pray the Lord would open this up. That phrase of Scripture, go through the gates, is from Isaiah. Isaiah, writing before, 800 years or so before the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But all that he's speaking, while he's speaking it to Jerusalem, he's speaking this to Israel, he's also speaking beyond Jerusalem and Israel to the coming of the day of Christ, but also beyond that to the body of Christ in this hour, this season, that now that we have the Spirit of Christ, but he's also speaking forward to the coming of Christ when Christ comes again. God's prophetic word speaking at every level of relation, every level of revelation. It says Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear the stones. Lift up a banner over my people. For the Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see your salvation comes. His reward is with them, his recompense before him, and they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You believe that? You believe that's a word for God for us today? Who needs to receive that word in your spirit today? That I am not a city forsaken, I'm not a person forsaken. Though my mother and father forsake me, yet the Lord will love me, the Lord will embrace me, says the Psalms. Who needs to understand that God empowers us to go through every gate, every barrier, every obstacle, every hindrance to the fullness of our calling, our identity, our destiny in God? Not just for us personally, but for us together as a body. For us together as the body and the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the Lord Jesus is coming back for a bride. For a people who are holy and pure and spotless without any wrinkle or blemish, anything of a kind. And that kind of holiness, it's not like how long you wear your dress or what kind of clothes you wear or how if you wear a beard or cut your hair short or any of that kind of stuff. It's about your heart. Right. Holiness of heart and life. It's letting God change us from the inside. Yeah. You know, like Philippians 2 said, it is God who is at work within you. Empowering you both to will what is right and then to do what is right. Yes, yes. Now, isn't that freeing? Mm-hmm. See, we get that backwards. The religious spirit gets that backwards. He has us focused on the outward appearances and the outward things we do and the rules and the do's and the don'ts and I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do. And, yeah. You know, those kind of things. What we do, our actions are important, but our actions are to reflect our character. And God changes our character from the inside out. He begins to change our thoughts, change our hearts, change our desires. Right. I have that morning prayer that I try to start my day off, morning by morning. I thought it started about 8-10 years ago when the Lord said, even though I pray with people all day long, he said, my son, the degree of my power, my authority that I will manifest through your life will be directly related to the personal time you spend with me. And so somehow, when I heard that day, I started getting up a little earlier, journaling my prayers and clicking them sin. So I call them morning by morning. Some of y'all can get on the list and get them. But I try to start off my day where the first words out of my mouth, the first thoughts that come to my mind are pointed to the Lord.
That's right.
And what I find myself praying most every morning is something to the effect of, Lord, would you put your thoughts in my mind?
Yeah.
Would you put your desires in my heart?
Yeah.
Make me more like you today.
Glory.
And you know, that's a lifelong journey, and there's some steps forward and some steps back. Anybody here ever take a step back?
Oh,
now, I didn't ask you to show hands. But I do hear there's some soul therapy if you need that. Confess your sins. And we all do. We all do. But God wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to set us free. And I believe part of the freedom are some of these gates that we need to go through. So, Lord, what are these gates? Go through the gates. Pride is a gate we're to go through. Now, when I talk about these gates, I'm talking about the gates of hell. Matthew 16 says, you are my people. You are my church. You are my rock. You declare me. You trust in me. You believe in me. You be my witness in all the earth. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. On this rock, I will build my church and what? And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So I'm going to list here some of those gates. And even as I list this, and I believe the Lord gave me this list, the Lord's speaking to us personally, and corporately, and even now, as you say, come Holy Spirit. If I need to go through this gate, if I need to get through this gate, if I need to get on into the gate of righteousness that you have for me, reveal it, expose it, take it out of me today, I pray in the name of Jesus. Will y'all join with me in that prayer?
Amen.
So as we hear this, just let the word of the Lord bring it up in you. Already be laying it down. Don't wait for the altar call. Don't wait till the end. Let it happen as the Spirit of the Lord speaks truth to your heart. Pride, the gate of pride. What is pride? Pride is all about me. I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of myself. And this is what I think. And this is what I am. How many of us get stuck in the gate of pride? Even in our pain, even in our woundedness, a lot of the prayer ministry with people, it's where people are guarding their pain, guarding their shame, detaching from the pain. I'm going to protect my pain because I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to let it come up. Or I'll never think about that again. And God wants us to trust Him enough to let go of what's buried down inside. Because He really wants to bring us to the place where this one thing I do, I let go of the past. And now I can press on to with the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But the trouble is, too many of us, we drag along our pain with us. We drag along our shame with us. We drag along our sin and the things we buried. We're detached in those chains. And we don't run the race with perseverance looking to Jesus because we're dragging along in the race till it doesn't even feel like a race anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So a lot of times we need to let God allow us to trust Him enough to let go of ourselves, let go of our control. Control really is what is the manifestation of pride. A root of pride manifests as control. I try to control myself. I try to control the people around me. And that has to be broken because it is a spiritual principle. James chapter 4. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble.
Good.
So to the very degree where I'm taking control because I need to be in control, I'm opposing the very grace of God, the power of God, in the place where I need it the most. And even right now, if the Lord is showing you some area where you've been in control and you've been trying to do it your way, your strength and your power, let it go. Let it go. Trust Him. Trust Him enough to let go of your control. This humility thing, I'm convinced humility is probably the greatest key to the kingdom of God. Because isn't that what it says in Philippians 2? Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though He had equality with God, He humbled Himself. He took upon Himself the likeness of human flesh and blood. And because He humbled Himself, even to death on a cross, then God the Father gave Him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father.
Amen.
See, that shows us humility is the key to being established in the place of our identity, our authority, letting God fully express His power through us. Humility, this humility thing. I have a working man's definition of humility. Because I think a lot of the church doesn't get this humility. We think it's like being a holy doormat, or letting people walk all over us, or always turning to their cheek, or never taking a stand, and never being the one that God would use to speak the truth in love, or to challenge evil, challenge injustice. We have a lot of misunderstandings about all the different facets of the nature of Jesus that he teaches. And one of the things is this humility. To me, humility, this is how I define humility. To willingly choose to be desperately dependent upon God alone. And just how the Lord led me, I believe, to crack that understanding, because it's so important. To willingly choose, it's a choice. Y'all know we have a choice. God loves us, God's for us, but he always sets before us the choice, life or death, blessing or curse. Even in the Garden of Eden, God knew what stakes were there, but did he come snatch that apple out of Adam's hand? He let Adam make his choice. He lets us make our choices. It breaks his heart, some of the choices that we'll make, but God doesn't let that be the end of the story. Even though we make bad choices, even people make bad choices around us, God reaches in, he pulls us out, he brings us through it. And so humility is to willingly choose to be desperately dependent. Desperately dependent upon God. See, that's the opposite of being dependent on myself and desperate for myself. I heard your pastor say just yesterday, you know, desperation is never a fruit of the Spirit. No, not ever. Anytime we feel desperate about something that's dependent upon us, that's not the Lord. We're to be desperately dependent upon him alone. That means, God, you are my strength. You are my wisdom. You are my power. You're the one who's going to bring me through this gate. Amen. So if we have a gate of pride, let's repent of that. Let God begin to give you enough trust that we can let go of our control. Let's renounce that control. You know, godly self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, but ungodly control is a demonic snare that will steal us from the very power of the grace of God. You believe that?
Yes.
Go through the gates. Go through the gates. That gate of pride. We've got to come through the gate of pride into the gate of humility. You know, Psalm 118, 19 says, we will enter through the gates. It says we enter through these demonic gates, these fleshly gates, these gates of unrighteousness. Psalm 118, 19 says, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. See, so we're not just going through the gates of hell. We're going into the gates of righteousness. Not just through the gates of unrighteousness, but into the gates of righteousness. John Wesley, I'm one of his preachers, he said, expect no revival unless you preach righteousness and holiness unto the Lord. So if y'all forgive me, that's just what I'm doing, all right? Because I'm expecting revival. Who wants revival in your heart? Who wants it in your spirit? Who wants to be a revival in the earth in the name of Jesus? We will be that bride. We will be that people on the earth when Jesus comes back who have the nature of Jesus in our hearts. We're moving in the power, the authority of Jesus through our lives. We will be the people who fulfill the greater works of John 14. The things he did, we will do also. Not in our power, not in our strength, but by the power of the one who dwells in us. We will see amazing signs and wonders and miracles upon the earth. We're already starting to see them. People have already been raised from the dead. They don't even count it anymore over in Mozambique and Heidi Baker's ministry unless you've been dead for 3 days. Over 100 have been raised. Other places. They exciting, amazing things are happening on there. We're going to see more. Because even though darkness is covering the face of the earth, deep darkness, the people arise and shine. For your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We're going to be shining light in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the fear and the pain and the shame and the hurt, and all the world shaking and trembling around us. But we will be steady. We will be steadfast. We will be secure. We'll be like the place of Goshen in the days of the plagues that came against Egypt. We will be a people who are steady and steadfast. And the people shaking and trembling around us will say, who is your God? we will know who our God is, because our God is the one who brings us through every gate. Our God is the one who uproots every root that bears bad fruit in our lives. Our God who breaks every chain in our life that would hold us back from the freedom that He has for us in Christ. Thank you, Lord God. We need to know this God. We need to live into the fullness of what this God has for us. Not just for us, but for the dying world that is around us, because that's God's heart. God's heart, even in His judgment, even when the plagues come, even when the shaking comes, even when the desert and the famine comes, God wants to use all that to bring every last soul to Him, because He loves us. He's for us. His mercy triumphs over judgment. But He will use His judgment to bring us to the place of His mercy. Thank you, Lord. Go through the gates. We want to go through the gate of pride into the place of humility. Go through the gate of fear into the place of love. Isn't it perfect love that casts out all fear?
Yes.
See, fear is not fully trusting God. Fear is not fully holding on to Him. Fear is not fully having the love of God in our heart. If we truly know God loves us, God's for us, His perfect love forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's a God that's always reaching out to us. It's like a father reaching out to the prodigal son. That's the heart of the Father always. If we knew that kind of love, we wouldn't have fear. And we have that kind of love. Be anxious for nothing. Fear not, says the Lord. Do not worry, says the Lord. So when we're fearful, when we're worrying, when we're anxious, we need to just acknowledge it to God. God, I'm scared. God, I'm worried. God, things around me concern me. But I need You. I'm calling on Your name. And He comes, and His perfect love fills our heart, and His perfect peace that surpasses all understanding rises up within us, even though the world thinks, are you crazy? How can you be peaceful? How can you be calm at this moment? Don't you know what's going on around you? And yet, though our circumstances may be the same, there's some steadiness, there's a calm, there's a peace, there's the love of God inside of us. Go through the gate of fear into the gate of love. Thank You, Lord. And when we do, God gives us opportunities to step out and step through those gates and move into what He's doing. And He always shows us it was worth it. It was worth it to trust Him. Now, I do quite a bit of traveling in some other countries, and I get invitations and things, and I kept getting this invitation from this pastoral couple over in Pakistan that got on the list somehow to my morning-by-morning prayer devotional. They always send me an email, Pastor Tommy, Pastor Tommy. They don't know I'm not a pastor. Everybody just calls you a pastor. So, you know, Pastor Tommy, you must come to Pakistan. We are praying. We are fasting. You must come. And I'm thinking, yeah, Pakistan, right. That's about the last place on the face of the earth I'm ever going to go. Surely there's somebody else that will go share the gospel over there. But they were persistent and persistent. And finally, my secretary saying, Tommy, I just feel like you really ought to take this one seriously, a little more seriously than you are. And that very night, I went to a meeting. At the time, I was part of one of the advisors for the GLOW ministry in that part of Kentucky. I was in Lexington. Everyone, the GLOW ladies right there. Praise God. Powerful ministry.
Yes.
Thank you, God. The mandate to see God proclaim that Israel be established in the earth, that Islam be unraveled, that there be the right alignment of men and women, husbands and wives, and the body of Christ. Awesome ministry. But anyway, I went to one of their meetings, and they had their national expert on Islam was coming to speak to us in Lexington. And so I was involved in a citywide church, bringing together the city to hear these kind of messages and things. So I went that night. And the lady that was speaking afterwards, she said, I've got a word for you. And so I was listening, and she took me by the hands, and she started to pray and then started to speak. And she says, and I believe the Lord would say, you are going to an Islamic nation sooner rather than later. And as you have the courage to go, you will see the Lord confirm His word with signs and wonders and miracles. And I'm going, Shandra Basandra Basandra. Wow, that's don't you know I'm just a Methodist minister? Well, something caught me about that, so as soon as I got home, I sent an email to that couple in Pakistan. I said, well, if y'all still want me to come sometime, let's pray about it. You know, before I could get to the office, The next day, they were literally calling me on the phone. Gave them my cell phone number. They're calling me from Pakistan. Pastor Tommy, you must come. This is the hour to come. I go, oh my goodness. Yeah. I go, so it's a process to get your visa and to line up to go to a place like that. And so I get in the forms and all that. And every time I'm telling my son, you know, about going, he go, Dad. Now that's not an encouraging thing. That's what they were doing to him over there about that time. All that on the TV and all that, you know. I've been a lot of countries, but I've never had the embassy of that country call me on the telephone. Well, so they called me on the phone and says, what is your business coming to Pakistan? And by the way, Pakistan, it's not just Pakistan, it is their official title is the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. It is against the law to lead a Muslim to Christ. If you in any way are considered offending Islam or the Prophet Muhammad, the penalty is death, slow death. And they enforce the law. So, something. Now, Lord, you just open the door if this is of you. And Lord, you shut the door if this is not you. And talking about battling with fear, going through the gate of fear, all right? And so this man on the phone, he says, so we must get a letter sent to our embassy from the people who are inviting you, stating specifically why you're going, and that they would be responsible for you while you were there, all these conditions. I go, okay, well, that'll surely be the Lord shutting the door. And so I'm telling the pastor, oh, we're praying. We are fasting for you to come to Pakistan, Pastor Tommy. This is the Lord. This is your time to come. And so we're talking about how we might present this. And before we can work anything out, they're faxing a letter to the embassy on their church letterhead. We have invited Pastor Tommy Hayes from America to come for 10 days of healing, revival, miracle services. I'm going, well, Lord, that'll surely shut the door. The next day, they call me back from the embassy. We have granted your visa to come. I don't know how to explain that at all. It turns out at that time, that province where I went, Lahore, Pakistan, Punjab province of Pakistan, it was a place where the ruler of that place was open, tolerating Christianity.
Wow.
Now, after I got back, they literally cut his throat because he was too tolerant of the Christian voice. I'm telling you, there are places in this world where it will cost you something to be a Christian. It will cost you something even to allow a Christian into your home, into your life, to give voice to the Christians. So there was a window of opportunity to get in there, and I went, and you know, oh my goodness, every service, the Taliban Bureau and all that, and they wouldn't let us have, you know, big meetings at places like you do some places. It had to be a different location every night. And so, all right, this will be, we'll sneak in. They had posters on the streets with my picture. Healing revival service, come see Pastor Tommy from America. So every night, and they told me, you know, I talked to, you know, some of my evangelist buddies that had been over there in the past with, as part of Randy Clark's ministries and everything, and he had gone around and he says, in that region where you're going, they'll let you preach Jesus. You can preach Jesus. Don't say anything about Islam. Don't say anything about Muhammad. Don't call their religion demonic or anything, but they'll let you preach Jesus. And even let people, they'll let you do a prayer. So I just stepped out on faith that they're going to let me do it. Well, I get over there and they have literally got guards from the Pakistan military with shotguns on the platform every time we go, every place we go. In the car where we're going, they're getting out, you know, and there's the military issue guards from their issue, and then the deacons of every church we'd go, there they are in their robes and their shotguns. So God was overcoming fear in me, I'll tell you. And we would go, and you know, in Islam, they think it's an offense to think that God's a father, that God would love you. Islam means submission. That means peace. Means submission, and their whole ideology is that all the world will submit to Allah, who is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is a false demonic being. I can say that here. Thank you, Pastor. So then my buddy that had been over there, he said, so you lead with healing and then salvation, because then they want to come be saved by the God that healed them. So I just start off every meeting and say, God, there is a God and He is a Father. And He has a Son. And His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And one of the ways that God reveals His love for us is through His healing power. Now put your hand on something that hurts, you know, and we go into healing, proclaim healing, bind off those spirits, and go through the gates of infirmity and sickness and disease, and ask the Lord to bring healing and life and speak to that. And we'd open up the altar and they'd come and we'd pray. And I saw more signs and wonders and miracles in those 10 days than I've ever seen in my whole ministry. Praise God. I mean, it's exciting when a man comes up and he's blind from birth in one of his eyes, and I'm saying, how can I pray for this man? He's blind in one of his eyes, and he starts to go, you know, after the prayer. I can see! I can see! I can see! Now, those are moments that make your heart say, and every place I can tell a lot more stories, but I got to quit in 8 minutes. So, but I mean, every place I'd go, the Lord would be moving mightily in power, and whole villages would be set free of pain. It's like every person I prayed for had pain, and I started to understand there's like a principality of pain and torment over this village, and we broke it. And then every single person had pain in their stomach, pain in their head, pain in their shoulder. They were set free immediately. And don't you know, those altars were open to know this God who loved them enough to heal them with His power and receive Jesus in their heart. And that's just a little taste. That happens to be one of the regions where God's just moving mightily. He's moving in different places like that in the world. But there's coming a time where He's going to move like that all over the earth. All over the earth. The glory of the Lord will cover this earth as wide as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Lord. But we've got to press through the gates of fear into the place of God's perfect love. We've got to press through the gates of shame. Demonic gates of shame. Sometimes it's shame about our past. Things that we've done. We've got to truly believe the Word of God that says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just, and He will cleanse you from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness.
Yes.
Now we've got to either believe that or not. That's either true or that's not. That's my theology about if you've done something and something's been done to you, or you've committed sins that are in the Bible that God says you shouldn't commit, or if you commit those sins, then there are limitations and restrictions on your life. We've got to believe God's Word or not. Either He says, if you confess that as a sin, if you repent of that and receive His forgiveness, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
It's as if you had never committed that sin.
That's right.
God does not have second-class Christians. God does not have people that continue to wear some label over some choice or something that happened in their past, their life in the past. He wants to set us free of everything that's anything less than God's perfect will for our lives. And His answer to that is the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus. And if somebody here this morning is still struggling with something you did, or some label you wear, some scarlet letter on your shirt, or on your heart, or on your past, the Lord said, I have forgiven you. I have cleansed you. I've released you from that unrighteousness. Yes. You are clean. You have a clean slate. You have a fresh start. You are not hindered by the sins of your past.
Amen.
We're going to go through that gate of shame. We're going to get over the shame thing, the guilt and the condemnation and the regrets of the past.
Yes.
Through the gate of shame into the place of honor.
Yes.
You are honored by God. You are vessels chosen by honor. God of heaven has chosen to display His glory through your life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's shame not over what we've done, but shame over what's been done to us.
Right.
You can imagine the kind of ministry I have. I'm convinced just about every woman has had some form of sexual abuse in their life. I don't know if it's just because God brings them all to me. But I doubt it. I think it's a lot more prevalent.
Yes.
And it's a lot more prevalent for the men.
Yes, right.
There are all kinds of abuse and hurt and pain and shame of the past. Sometimes the shame we have, it's not over what we've done, have done. It's what's been done to us. But yet we feel dirty. We feel defiled. We feel canceled. We don't feel clean. We feel. And God wants to come to that place. Connect the memories, the events, the emotions that are stuck and buried down inside. Bring them up and bring them out. Not to make you keep reliving it or to keep digging it up, but so finally you can let it go.
Yeah.
And then He can replace it with His cleansing and His peace and His honor.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for taking us through the gate of shame and into the gate of honor. These gates of righteousness. Come through the gate of rejection and into the place of adoption. We feel rejected. We feel left out. We feel abandoned. We feel unloved. We feel judged, condemned. And God wants to take those places, wherever that's been in your life. Let it go this morning. Through the gate of rejection, into the place of adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. It is the very Spirit of God in us that cries out, Abba, Father. For we are accepted in the Beloved. We're embraced by our Father.
Yes.
We have a family in God. He wants to free us from rejection. Free us from the fear of rejection. Release us from those things. Free us from the gate. Go through the gate of lust. Do they have a gate of lust in Claremore? If we'd really be honest with ourselves and our minds and our thoughts and the culture around, go through that gate of lust. Pornography and the things we watch and the things we desire and the things that get our attention. Go through the gate of lust into the gate of intimacy. True intimacy with God. See that lust, it's the demonic counterfeit of true intimacy with God. He wants to have true intimacy with Him and true intimacy within the bounds that He has set for us to experience His love and His grace. We've got to go through that gate of unrighteousness into the gate of righteousness, from lust to intimacy in God. Through the gate of judgment into the gate of mercy. Now this kind of judgment, I'm talking about the kind of judgment where Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged. That kind of judgment. We are to judge righteously. We're to discern. We're to recognize what's true, what's false, what's holy, what's not. To recognize, to grow into that, to even speak in one another according to the Scriptures. But we're not to judge in the sense of sin. And my definition, my working man's definition of sinful judgment is to come into agreement with the accuser. It's as if to say, that's how you are, that's how you'll always be, and you'll never change. See, it might be true discernment lets us recognize something about someone. But when we harden our heart then, as if to say, and that's how you are, you'll never change. See, now we're coming into agreement with the accuser instead of agreement with the Redeemer. We've got to come through that gate of judgment in the church, through the gate of judgment into the place of mercy. For God's mercy triumphs over judgment. Doesn't mean we ignore sin, we ignore what's wrong, but it means we recognize it and our heart is always for mercy. Always that person, always that we would come to the foot of the cross and under the blood of Jesus in repentance, that then we can receive the mercy of God. He is a merciful God. His steadfast love, His tender mercy, they endure forever. They are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to come through the gate of death into the gate of life.
Yes.
Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And we got to quit coming into agreement with death. Yes, I know when someone dies in Christ, it's precious in the sight of the Lord, but it's not their death, it's that they come through death into life. It's life that's precious to the Lord. Jesus was very clear in John 10:10. It is the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. So we've got to quit judging God for death and sickness and disease and things in our life that are less than the fullness of life. We've got to understand He is for life and not death. We've got to quit thinking God has some kind of a kingdom that's divided against itself. His kingdom, there is life. There is fullness of life. There is newness of life. And God is going to release great life on the earth. That's why we're going to see more and more people raised from the dead. That's a demonstration of the power of life over death. The day when Jesus does come back and there is the rapture and there is those who are dead in Christ, that's going to be a worldwide display of the victory of life over death. So we're going to begin to experience foretaste of that coming day. Foretaste of that fulfillment of that prophetic word. The Lord says, go through these gates. Into the gate of righteousness for Him. And I had this picture. Here are the gates. And here we are. We are a battering ram. I had this picture of a battering ram coming against the gates of hell. Men and women of God, you are the battering ram. You are the weapon of God's warfare. These weapons of truth and humility and faith and love and honor and all these gates of righteousness, humility. These are a mighty weapon in the hand of the Lord, in the mighty right hand of the Lord. You are His weapon, and He is storming the gates with your life. Every time you make the right choice, every time you make the right decision, by the grace of God, you're storming the gates, and those gates are going to break open.
Hallelujah.
That's breakthrough. He is the God of breakthrough. We are breaking through.
Yes.
And we will break through as we trust God, as we come through the gates of unrighteousness into the gates of righteousness. And I had this crazy vision right before I finally got back to sleep. I saw Jesus get a running start. And I would do this if I wasn't so old. But I'm not kidding. As I was telling at this conference, I don't get all the cool gifts that a lot of y'all get. You know, I'm more of a faith man. I just believe, I speak it, I say it, it happens, you know. But some of y'all see in the spirit. But every now and then I get these visions and pictures. And last night I got one. I saw Jesus running toward this gate. Just like this. Pow! And he jumped, bowed his feet, hit that gate, and it busted open. Thank you, Lord, for not letting me fall. And then, if you believe God is a God of humor? Then I had this picture. I'm not making this up, Pastor. He was wearing his white robe, but he had on boots. So I say, Lord, what are those boots about? And He took me to Ephesians 6, where it talks about having the shoes of peace.
Yeah.
If you're from Texas, the boots of peace.
Yeah.
And He was making that curse. See, peace. That kind of peace, though. Not the world's peace. Not appeasement and compromise and go along to get along. But the kind of peace that stands up and speaks the truth. The kind of peace that gets the enemy out of there, gets the unrighteous out of there, and then establishes true peace, God's peace. It's like in Matthew 11, where Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword.
Right.
So He didn't come to bring a false peace, not a compromising peace, not an unrighteous peace, but a sword, the sword of the Word of God. And He says part of the whole armor of God, being clothed in Christ and Christ in us, is to have those shoes of peace, those boots of peace, the true peace. And when we got those on our feet, we're like Jesus, we're breaking through those gates. And then, you know, God can use Balaam's donkey to speak, and God can anoint a pagan king, Cyrus, with His anointing. This country and western song came to me at about 5:30 this morning. This unsanctified Toby Keith song about the red, white, and blue. It talks about where to put America's boot.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I'm not going to sing the song for you.
Okay.
But y'all go Google that song. It talks about where America puts their boot in their enemies after they come, you know, on the World Trade Center and all that. And all Hades comes raining down. I think the Lord is saying all Hades is going to come raining down on the enemies of the people of God, and He's going to put His boot in some place. And I got a scripture for it, Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now stand with me if you will. I just make a little room next to your neighbor there. It's going to be our declaration to God. Prayer to God, our declaration. And you know, this, your left hand, that's going to be the gate. We're going to go through the gates. Your right hand, you are the battering ram of the Lord. This is the weapon of your warfare. Righteousness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. We're going to go through the gates. Go through the gates. Pride! Go through the gates. Establish humility in Jesus' name. Gate of fear. Go through the gates. Establish your love in the name of Jesus. Unrighteous gate of shame. Go through the gate. And Lord, establish your honor for your people in the name of Jesus. Gate of rejection. Go through the gate. Oh Lord, now establish us in your adoption as sons and daughters of God, accepted in the beloved in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
unrighteous gate of lust. Go through the gate, and in the name of Jesus, in its place, there shall be intimacy with God. Holy intimacy with God, true holy passion with God, with one another, ladies, and honor Him with our spirit, souls, and bodies. Unrighteous gate of judgment. Go through the gate of judgment, and O Lord, establish mercy. The mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God that destroys, that overcomes, that triumphs over judgment in Jesus' name. Unrighteous gate of death. Go through the gate, and in Jesus' name, where there was death, death to your heart, death to your body, death through sickness and disease and condemnation, death to your vision, death to your anointing, your calling, your purpose, your destiny, O Lord, establish life abundantly, that there will be life in us, life coming forth out of the body of Christ across this earth to display the glory of the Lord in Jesus' holy name.